Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. And hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Behind the Curtain podcast. I'm Paul Listick from WGN-TV, but of course, this podcast always gives me a chance to delve into my passion of theater. And today, a very special show, because one of the great Chicago theaters, which I thought, we all thought, was going to vanish from our theatrical community, is in fact coming back. Mercury Theater Chicago was such a sad day when we heard they were closing down, they were selling the building, all of these things. They're coming back. Executive producer Walter Stearns, one of my guests right now. I'm going to introduce the other ones, but first of all, Walter, I just got to start by saying, on behalf of the Chicago theater community, thank you for making this decision and giving this return a shot.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. It's our pleasure. And, you know, it's been a terrible year, and we all could use some good news. And I'm thrilled to be part of the reopening of the Mercury Theater.
Well, and I have to, let me just ask you, the building, of course, has been around since 1912. It's been a movie theater. It's been different things until you guys made it what it should be. But just briefly, you know, you announced the closing, you announced the sale, and in terms of just doing my own homework, apparently funding became available. Was it always your hope to say, I want to find a way, or did things just, had you written it off and then one day said, hey, we don't have to?
Sure. So last year in March, we closed up two different shows, and we sustained a huge financial loss from closing two shows at that moment. And we held on because nobody knew what the pandemic would hold. And we held on for another few months before we had to say goodbye to our staff. We had to lay everybody off. I mean, we announced the close of the theater in, I think it was in late June, early July, that we closed the theater permanently. It was always our hope that we would hold on for as long as we could, and we didn't know how long that would be. And I thought, well, we'll sell off portions of the building. You know, there's a restaurant, there's a cabaret, yeah. We have a rehearsal studio, and I thought, well, we're going to hang on to the theater, and that would be the last piece that we sell off. And we just held on as tight as we could. We eliminated all of our expenses for the most part, and we just sort of battened down the hatches for what I thought was going to be, you know, nobody knew how long this pandemic would last. It could have been years and years. We've been waiting 30 years for an AIDS vaccine, and we haven't seen that yet either.
Right.
Who knew at that moment how long the pandemic would last?
Yeah, it's funny that you said we were able to get rid of all our expenses. I thought to myself, yeah, a lot of people do that. They just stop paying their bills. But you, of course, did it the right way. So let me ask you, as we see what's about to open up, because I've been making some assumptions. So we get our Mercury Theater back. I'm assuming our Venus Cabaret, because I've been seeing some Instagram ads saying, you know, get your gift certificates now, enjoy them later. So you didn't sell that off.
No. We held on. We just ultimately what happened was we tightened our belts. We tightened our belts a great deal to last us through the bulk of the pandemic. And now we're pleased that we have a new restaurant tenant coming into the space to the north of us. So we've got a new restaurant that's going to be opening there in a few months. The Mercury Theater, God willing, will be opening just as soon as we're allowed to by the city of Chicago and when we reach an agreement with Actors Equity Association. And the Venus Cabaret, which is sort of our brand new jewel box cabaret theater, we've got big plans for the future of that space as well. So we've managed to hang on to all three, and we're looking forward to reopening just as soon as the public will let us.
All right. And I want to talk to your team who's helping you do that or doing this with you. One last question. So the Grassroots restaurant, which I really enjoyed, that will be gone. It'll be a new restaurant.
It will, yeah. We have a brand new restaurant tenant coming in there. I don't want to announce what that is. It's a great new concept for the neighborhood. It's something that our entire neighborhood will embrace and has not been done yet. But she'll be announcing that just as soon as she's gotten through her licensing and permit process.
So it's not the Einstein Bagels and Starbucks combo?
No. It's something completely fresh and okay. something we really need.
All right. Well, I will enjoy eating there, I know. Hey, look, you know, when this got announced, I thought, well, okay, Walter's coming back in that role of artistic director. He's going to be directing again. Your partner in crime, music, and life, Eugene, is certainly all part of this again. I'm sorry he couldn't join us today. But no, you expanded this, and we want to find out how this happened. So joining our conversation now is the managing director of the New Mercury Theater, Shane Murray Corcoran. Hi, Shane. Thanks for being with me.
No problem, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And the artistic director, Christopher Chase Carter. So, Christopher, you're going to wear a hat Walter once wore. A little pressure on you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure. There's more excitement and excitement about the collaboration. You know, when Walter approached me, it was more of like, let's work together. Let's create something new, something fresh. So it was more exciting than, you know, he has some big shoes to fill, but I'm looking forward to the challenge, especially with him by my side, you know.
And by the way, I think this is the first interview the three of you have done together. Am I right about that? Don't break my heart and tell me you've done 10 of these.
Yeah, this is the first one.
Okay.
All the three of us have been involved.
So that's good to know, and that's going to make other people jealous they didn't get you first. So I want to make sure I ask all the critical questions. So let me stick with you, Christopher, for this question, because obviously under Walter's guidance, we saw Avenue Q, we saw Sheer Madness. By the way, Walter, Sheer Madness is what you ended up having to close, right?
Yeah, that was one of the crushing losses, and we were also in pre-production for Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. We were just about to open that. That was really heartbreaking for me.
Well, listen, I did the voiceovers for Sheer Madness. How do you think I felt about that? So you put me out of business as well. I got laid off by the Mercury Theater. Let me just put it that way. So Christopher, let me come back to you and talk about, Walter just said, some of the shows that have been done, and I can, Spam-A-Lot. I mean, just huge productions, major things. What is your thinking? What are you thinking about bringing? What's the Mercury Theater going to be known for 5 years from now?
I think the vision of Chicago and what the image of Chicago art and artists look like under one roof. You know, I'll put in a perspective for you. I think that Porchlight's doing a really good job of doing that, but I think it's time as a community we come together and we work together and create all houses and all theater that looks like the talent here in Chicago, instead of like, this is a group from Chicago and this is an established a part of it, but what does the actual vision and what does Chicago artistry and community look like under one roof on the same stage? I think that's what I'm most excited about, giving to the community and really elevating our artists and making our artists stars. You know, what I'm really excited to do is really elevate the Chicago artists and create stars in Chicago. It's really nice when you go out of town and you see straight from Broadway, straight from New York. You know, I'm in Kansas and, there's a star there. But it'd be nice to say straight from Chicago, this artist is starring here. And, that happened to me once over the past couple of years, and it was very, very exciting and thrilling. I was like, oh, this is somebody I grew up, performing with and creating my resume with, and they're being promoted as a star. So that's the biggest thing that I'm really excited to do, is really support our artists and give us, elevate the community and the talent and being seen, as a strong community that's together.
Well, that's beautiful to say, because there are so many stars in this community and who have come from this community, to see them grow even further. And please use me as your voice over guy going forward. I've got that career to worry about as well. Let me get over to Shane. Shane, you are an artist. You're coming in here as a managing director. When I saw that, talk about a little bit of your history with Mercury, but in the theater community, this looks like a little shift for you, more to the business end. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I've grown up in the arts since I was a kid. I first started out as an actor, as a child actor in Ireland, and I always grew up
around theater. My parents were always involved in it, whether my mom was in the office and my dad was, you know, backstage. And I always, you know, just used to pick up and learn from what they were doing and other people were doing around me, even though I was more focused on the acting side of it. So what actually brought me to Mercury was I originally came to Chicago in 2012 as an exchange student from the Conservatory of Music and Drama at DIT in Dublin, where I went to college. And I was there for a semester, and I loved the city, fell in love with it, you know, fell in love with the theater scene. I wanted to get involved as much as I could. So when my semester came to an end, I knew that I was like, I have to get back to the city somehow. It's like, it felt like home to me. So I pursued the opportunity to get my graduate visa, which brought me back for another year after I graduated. And, I saw that the Mercury was hiring. I lived in the neighborhood. I walked by it, you know, every day. And I popped in one day and I said, hey, you know, are you guys hiring? Can I drop off my resume? And they said, yeah, you know, we'll take a look. Someone at the box office just took my resume. And then, I got a phone call and said, can you come in for an interview? And that's how it began. I started at the box office. And if there was anything I could do to help, whether it was, oh, hey, you need some help real quick with this or that, or answering phones or responding to emails or just dealing with patrons. And I've really found a love for that side of it. And I noticed that I was less wanting to pursue performing and more sort of understanding how a commercial theater worked. So getting this opportunity to really kind of roll up my sleeves and really delve deep is great, because it's kind of what I've been working towards for, you know, the past almost 10 years now.
Well, then I say congratulations. You walk by the theater every day to go into that candy store next door so you could have that lady tell your fortune based on the chocolate you buy, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there used to be a sort of a hybrid Irish-English restaurant right next door to the theater years and years ago. I want to say it was called the Jolly Roger. Now, I could be wrong with the name, but I would go in there for lunch because they would have some Irish delicacies. And then I one day just decided, you know what, I'm going to pop my head into this theater because, you know, it's right in my neighborhood and I've never been. And I just went out on a whim and I just said, hey, you know, if you guys are ever looking for some help, you know, I live right down the street. And it was really just putting myself out there. If I hadn't have done it, who knows where I would have ended up.
Yeah. You know, you'll have to come over to the WGN TV side one day, because we've hired a relatively new reporter named Brona Tumulty, and she's moved here from Ireland. And I'd like to have an accent contest between the two of you to see who has the thicker Irish accent. I think she might beat you, though.
You know what? It's a funny observation, because the longer I've been here, every time I go home for a visit, people say, you know, you don't sound like you're Irish anymore. You sound like you're American. So I do get that one a lot, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll have a contest. Walter, let me come back to you. You know, putting this team together, when we first read in sentence number one of the news briefs that the theater was coming back, we thought, aha, Walter, Eugene, here they are. They're back. What made you decide to say, enough, it's time for some new blood and a team to be created?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, our world is changing very rapidly. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to give a bigger platform to more people. And Eugene and I continue to be very involved in the day-to-day operations at the theater. But I'm excited to give a new platform to new voices, to really throw open our doors, really kind of pursuing that idea that Chris Carter shared, which is just to become a theater for all Chicago artists. And I think that it's a recipe for success. I've met a lot of really talented folks, Chris Carter and Shane Murray Corcoran, and I'm thrilled that they are becoming more of a part, and they have more responsibility and more of a voice in the programming and the operations of our company. When Eugene and I were chief cook and bottle washer, I felt like the theater was a little underused, because there was only so much of our time and talent that we could expend. And now with Chris and Shane at the helm, I feel like we're going to have so much more programming. We're going to have so much more opportunity to shine.
And so, Christopher, I'm assuming you're going to be handling the artistic direction, not only for Mercury, but the Venus Cabaret as well. Is that true?
Yes, it's very true.
So when Venus first opened, Pippin was the first, I think it was the very first show, right, Walter? Pippin?
Oh, I think it was Sondheim's Company, and then we went moved on to Pippin. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just that Pippin was
has some
Pippin,
new ideas there. What?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to add, because Pippin was so brilliant, and what was amazing about that space was, of course, you had the bar there, and that show allows the cast to play with the audience in a small, intimate space, which is so very Chicago. And Walter, you should always, these next questions, you should chime in whenever you want, okay? But Christopher, let me say to you, how do you envision the Venus Cabaret space? Are you seeing, you know, more concerts, more performances, the Pippin kinds of shows again?
Yeah,
and what do you see?
I'm seeing more of a cabaret venue, you know, giving, like I said previously, giving Chicago artists to sell themselves and create a fan base. And, you know, if we think of the legendary bar of 54 Below in New York, that is a goal. You know, that is a place where people from Chicago go to be seen. And it'd be nice to have people from New York to come to the Venus Cabaret to be seen, because we really don't have a place like that. You know, we have all these tours that come through, and, you know, a place just for us as a community to go and have an intimate moment with the artist, you know, whether it's learning, studying, whatever it may be, or just, you know, having a day where you can just release and be you and see a different side of an artist that you don't normally get to see off the book. But yeah, no, like bringing in comedians and bringing in magicians and things like that, there's such a variety and such a broad pick of people in this community that could use that platform and that can really help that place thrive and be seen and just be a place of healing, literally, be a place of healing for us when we need it, and feeling supported, you know, by our own.
I think that, you know, when you say 54 Below and people who listen to this podcast are theater lovers, everybody knows what that means. And my mind immediately went to, Shane, I'm going to come to you with this, you know, how many Broadway artists, Aaron Tveit, you know, you can just go on and listing all of them who had their evening at 54 Below, it became a recording, right, which was then made available to people and such. You're going to be the managing director now, which means you have to worry about money. Maybe that's one of the things Walter's happy to have you worry about. But, is your mind there, Shane? Are you thinking of, that's right, we can do these kinds of concerts, we can record, I mean, that means an investment, but are you thinking about that financially for the theaters?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's something that that we need to be thinking about, and it needs to be at the forefront because, I mean, like Chris says, we're hoping to make it, Venus specifically, a venue where, you know, for example, you have artists coming into town, maybe they're downtown at one of the bigger theaters doing their album release or a concert. You know, maybe afterwards they want to come here and do a late night show, and they want to kind of you know, let loose a little bit and have a drink or two and be in a more intimate space with their audience. For example, when we did Little Chop, which Chris was a part of, we had Alan Menken, who was in town, and he was performing downtown at one of the bigger houses on his tour. But he came in to see the show, and afterwards, ourselves and the cast, the management and the cast of the show, were very lucky that he performed a little impromptu 30-minute performance on our piano in the corner of Venus, and we got to see his talent and his work up close and personal. And you know, it's those moments that they really stand out for you, and you think, God, this is what makes it all worth it. You know, being 5 feet away from Alan Menken, who is the writer of all of these amazing shows that I've grown up with as a kid. And there he is, you know, right in front of me singing and performing these songs that we all know so well. So, so to answer your question, that is always at the forefront of our mind. And it's something that we want to be able to bring to the city and give people, you know, the opportunity to have those similar experiences.
Well, and little tidbit, I was the sponsor of Alan Menken's concert at the auditorium. I've always, as Walter knows, I've always taken credit for making the connection with Mercury Theater because I talked to him about it and thought I did. Although I think, Walter, you corrected me and said, no, you did it anyway, right?
Well, I defer to you.
Okay.
You certainly were responsible for a great deal of that success, that incredibly magical night for us. A night that we'll always remember.
He was so amazing. That's right, because he came and he watched Little Shop. That's what was the point. Little Shop was going on at the time, which he wrote. So he was in the audience, and of course, as you said, then he did this stuff on stage. And I guess that's what I'm thinking about to all of you. This notion of having, think of all the Broadway stars or all the big stars who just come to perform in Chicago. You know, Katharine Hepburn did it in West Side Waltz years ago. I mean, just the biggest names that there are come to Chicago through Broadway in Chicago. Without question. Walter, is it your thought, too, of having these sort of informal evenings and obviously working with Shane? There's a lot of business that has to go on with this. But when you see a great Kathleen Turner, right? She was in town in the last season or two, I forget, at the Broadway Playhouse, of getting these people up and perhaps having them in conversation with, that kind of thing?
That's what we're looking forward to at the Venus Cabaret Theater. That's exactly right. That's sort of our new business model. Includes a variety of performances in a very intimate cabaret setting, and some of them we're just going to take advantage of the talent in our city and elevating that talent, and sometimes we're going to take advantage of these tours and these incredible artists who come through, and maybe they're performing at the Steppenwolf, or maybe they're part of Broadway in Chicago and they have a night off, or they have an act that they've been wanting to try out. We'd be very excited to roll up a welcome mat and offer them a performance. I know Chris Carter is trying to. Chris, do you want to tell us a little bit about getting the Cubs involved?
Yeah, I'm just, one of my biggest pushes for Mercury is being in the community. Being a big part, having a big hand in the community. We're so close to Wrigleyville. We're so so close to North Halsted. And, you know, those are valuable relationships. For example, we were going to do Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. It's a great push for North Halsted and all the, you know, the prize and the market days. And it gives us an opportunity to really become more of a community and connect with them. And so when it comes to, like, the Cubs, there's opportunities for, like, I think the Venus lends itself to player signings and, like, parties and, like, gatherings for families and things such as the Venus opens up a world of opportunities, I think, for multiple businesses and companies and establishments in the neighborhood. So just exploring deeper as to how we as a community can support everybody else around us and be a hand and a lending hand and a helping theater for all.
I think it's a great idea. I remember people like Casey Lyons, who played one of the young kids in Mary Poppins. His mom was my news director at WGN. He was looking at the Venus Cabaret and, because he has a theater group he put together and a music group and, just making that available for so many. And he's a young talent. He's 15 now, something like that, but making that kind of thing available. Shane, when you come back, obviously, again, a business question, you're dealing with COVID. Obviously, if you're going to be able to open, I don't know what the protocol is. We'll have to wear masks. Maybe you're social distancing. Are you taking that into account in the financial planning as you move forward, that this may not be a come one, come all opening, but maybe it is. Maybe we're just checking vaccine cards. I don't know. What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to. You know, this is the world that we live in now. And, we are, the numbers are, they're looking good. You know, we're starting to get back to some sort of normality. But, we have to always remember that, this is a new world that we're living in. So currently, we're working with the city, and we're waiting to hear from the city on what the regulations might be. I know that movie theaters are allowed to open at a certain capacity. We are obviously in a different area, but we also then have to think about working with Actors Equity, because they also have a say in what we can and can't do. So right now, I'm currently sitting at the theater as we speak. I'm in the Venus Cabaret, and I'm working on our reopening plans every day, with all the new information that comes out on, okay, right, well, we want to put more permanent hand sanitizing stations around the building. The shows that we are particularly looking at, we're thinking, well, how can we do this in a way that is, first of all, that is safe, for people that can actually be, you know, cost effective and actually work for us, and that we're not just opening our doors for the sake of opening our doors. But again, the, you know, these things are changing every day. So it's my job and my responsibility to stay on top of what is currently happening in the world and make sure that we, you know, have the most up-to-date information so we can make the best decisions, you know, from a financial standpoint, as well as making sure that everybody is safe when they eventually get to come back to this beautiful venue.
You can always sell Venus Cabaret masks. Think about that. Could make a fortune from those.
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, if you're looking, you know, if you're looking to come into business with us, you know, let's talk.
That may be one to do. We're almost out of time, guys, and but Christopher, let me come. I know this is one that you guys all work together every day in planning, and I don't know that you can tell me like the first show on the agenda, but I should say, are you looking at things like Priscilla, things that didn't get to take the stage and say, yes, let's revisit some of these, or Sheer Madness, let's bring them back? Or do you say, no, it's a new day. That was then. This is the new Mercury.
You know, there's a little bit of both. You know, you look at what was and what could be and how we can make it better. And like Walter has stated many times, we want to come back better than ever with the right foot forward. So there's always a discussion about, do we bring this back? What do we do next? What does the world need right now? And I think that's more of our main focus now. What does everybody need for them? What does our community need? What type of show? What does it need to look like? And, you know, so all those things go into account when we're trying to figure out how do we come back and how do we do it for everybody. And so to answer your question, yeah, we have those conversations, but you know, as a new artistic director coming in, I have my own vision. And you know, just balancing the two and figuring out what's right, that's kind of a, you know, what we're doing, what we're thinking about. But I could tell you that everything that we're thinking about is exciting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be healing. It's going to be, you know, it's going to make us feel what we felt once before when we went to the theater, and remind us as to why we chose this great city to build our careers in and to plant our feet. And that's where my mind is right now.
and don't be surprised when you tell Walter you want to do Fiddler on the Roof and he says you can't. Paul will drive you crazy for the role of Tevye. Just stay away from that. So be prepared for that conversation, because I know that was top on your agenda. I'm gonna wrap this by coming back to where we started, of course, with the great Walter Stearns. Walter, when this news got posted, I think Chris Jones posted the first notice that you were coming back and stuff. I'm sure you read the comments. I hope you read my comment. Again, as I said at the beginning, the boost in the arm of the spirit that news gave Chicago Theater. I just want to check this. Do you know, do you comprehend and understand the huge impact that announcement had? I mean, really, because it's not superficial.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been the great pleasure of my life to be a part of this theater community. It's all I've ever wanted to do was to be a part of it and to contribute to it in my way. And I'm thrilled that the theater, that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that we have great new creative and talented people who are going to be partnering and bringing this vital component back to life again. Thank you very much for your kindness and also for taking an interest in our company. We really couldn't do it without you. It was crushing to say goodbye, but it's so healing to say we're coming back and hello again.
Yeah, it sounds like a good Beatles song. So, you know, maybe Rain is one of the first shows you want to bring back, the Beatles tribute. Christopher. I'm full of ideas. See, I think you've hired the wrong people. You want me as your artistic director, your managing director. I'm so full of ideas, you just don't know what to do with them next. And
I'll have you all the time, right?
Exactly. New managing director, Shane Murray Corcoran. Artistic director, Christopher Chase Carter. Again, I can't wish you guys enough best wishes and broken legs, as they say in the theater, as things continue in this new day. Executive producer, but Chicago theater legend, because you really are, Walter Stearns. And with my love to your husband, Eugene, don't forget him. He is part of this team as well, without question. It's a four-person team going on. Please accept the best wishes of the theater community, my personal best wishes. This may be the first time we're talking as a group, but I promise you it won't be the last. Thank you, gentlemen. We wish you all the best with the new Mercury Theater Chicago.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.